Father, open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart today to receive all that you would have for us and that you would transform each of us into the image of your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day, everyone. This is a day that we particularly honor the mothers in our midst, and so we honor them today. And we just remember that, you know, the wonderful things that they've done for us. I mean, they've sacrificed a lot for us. So if you are a mother, happy Mother's Day. This is the day that we honor you. But it also happens to be the Sunday that we remember something else very significant. In fact, one of the most significant events on the church calendar, and that's the ascension of Jesus. So the ascension is every bit as important as the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus were. If the ascension had not taken place, we wouldn't know where Jesus was. And we would still be stuck in our sins, you know, wondering what had happened. But it's the ascension of Jesus that gives our world access to the kingdom of God and instills us with the purpose of our lives, as we'll see today. When you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 1 through 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Now, here we have the most extensive account of the ascension of Jesus found anywhere in the scriptures. 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, he and his disciples went to the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was lifted up into heaven. Now, you can imagine how the disciples felt at that moment. What had just happened? What was this? Where did Jesus go? And to help the crowd understand the significance, both the disciples and everyone else there, two angels appeared. They provide an explanation for what had just taken place. And he said to them that he has been lifted up into heaven. Now, look at the reference in verse 9. It's a reference to the clouds, right? Now, in the scriptures, clouds are always symbolizing God's glory. And therefore, the ascension is the moment when Jesus assumed his heavenly glory. It was his coronation, if you will. In being lifted up, Ephesians 1 says that he now sits at the right hand of the Father and reigns over heaven and earth, having been exalted above all rulers and taken his place as king over all. So if the crucifixion is the event that made forgiveness of our sins possible, and if the resurrection is the event that overcame our greatest enemy, death, the ascension is the event that connects the disciples of Jesus to their heavenly citizenship in the kingdom of God. And that's because we belong to the King. We belong to the King. The disciples were permitted to witness Jesus' ascension for two reasons. First, so that they would know where he is. And second, so that they would know that he remains as a human, for eternity. Jesus ascended in his resurrected human flesh and dwells in human flesh for eternity. And I think this is really hard for us in our society to really grasp this, because we have this hard separation between the spiritual and the physical, right? So the spiritual is where God dwells in heaven. And because God is spirit, it must be that everything in heaven is spirit. And everything down here, well, that's the physical world. And that's separate and distinct from that. In fact, there are some Christians who believe that when we die, that we exist as bodiless souls. We shed off these physical bodies and we exist in this spiritual realm forever. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The ascension gives us a very dramatically different picture, that God dwells with humanity in heaven, and the power of his kingdom is now available on earth. In verse 11, the angels ask the crowd, why do you stand there looking up into heaven? I mean, it's like he's saying, you know, get on with it. Don't just stand there. Get on with it. In other words, Jesus' ascension would affect how the disciples would conduct their lives from that moment forward. But why? Well, let's look at what happened just prior to the ascension of Jesus. So in verse 3, it says that Jesus appeared to his disciples over a period of 40 days, during which time he spoke to them about what? The kingdom of God. He invested in that time. He wanted them to understand the kingdom. And Jesus did this because he wanted them to understand that they will be revealers of that kingdom on earth. His soon-to-be ascension would not leave them lost, but would rather provide them with new purpose. In his ascension, Jesus would rule the world, not directly, but through his followers on earth. Not just any humans, but those who had been saved through faith in him and acknowledge his reign in heaven. Now, back in Genesis 1, humans were originally created to rule the world. But when they rebelled against God, they became incapable of ruling. Through the cross and the resurrection, Jesus rescued humanity from sin and death, and now reigns as king so that human beings might represent the kingdom on earth the way that God had originally intended. Now look at this. Look at what the scriptures say in Revelation chapter 5. And so this is the heavenly hosts that are speaking. And this is what it says. Worthy are you to take the scroll, that is the Lamb Jesus, and to open its seal. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed the people of God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And then it says, and you made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Now, how amazing, isn't it, that Jesus intends for us to be priests? Not just the priestly tribes, as you know, as in the case of Israel, but that all of us who are followers of Jesus, are priests who rule on earth. You and I in Christ are priests of God who mediate the kingdom of God. And so we're not like the world. Our citizenship is elsewhere, but we represent where we're from. We're like ambassadors, as Paul will say. We're truly ambassadors representing another kingdom. During the Industrial Revolution, people began to change. You know, up to that point, most people lived quiet, pastoral lives, you know, raising livestock, planting crops, and they didn't really have much ambition beyond simply survival, making sure that they could provide enough for their families. In the early 18th century, then, industries began to develop in Britain, in towns such as Birmingham, which produced metal goods. And when a young man, William Hutton, first went to Birmingham in 1741, he was instantly aware of the difference between this thriving provincial manufacturing town and the countryside where he grew up. And this is what he wrote. He says, I was surprised at the place, but more about the people. They possessed a vivacity I had never beheld. In the countryside, people were dreamers. And in this bustling town, they were filled with life. industry had animated the human spirit in ways that they had never seen before. And similarly, our lives as priests to God will animate our lives in ways that will distinguish us from all those who know nothing more than what they see with their eyes. Because we know a spiritual reality. We know the reality of the kingdom of God. So how do we participate with Jesus in bringing his kingdom on earth? You know, one of the most subversive acts, and I'm sure you guys love to do subversive things, don't you? But one of the most subversive things that we can do is not protesting, but worshiping. Worshiping Jesus. Christian worship declares that Jesus is Lord, and therefore, by the strong implication, nobody else is. He is Lord. And he only is Lord. In worship, we witness to that reality. The world will not remain the same as it is. It is now under the rule of King Jesus. And that's why it's so important that we gather here in person. You just can't worship at home on live stream. It's when we gather together that the Spirit is released. And we are declaring before dark powers that Jesus is Lord. And that's a very powerful thing. And when we do that, you notice that the spiritual atmosphere begins to change. We bring in all the stuff of the world, and the Spirit begins to just anoint and take those things away. Because our home is in heaven. We represent that heavenly world. We also participate with Christ in the bringing of his kingdom, as we obey his commands to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, we can't do this in our own power. That's why Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem, you know, until the Holy Spirit had come upon them. We can only do this through the power of God working in us. So the ascension empowers us for our priestly calling to reign on earth in two concrete ways. First, through the ministry of intercession. So his rule as king, Jesus is engaged in our lives and work. His present priestly ministry is to intercede for us on behalf of us to the Father. And both Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25 testify to that. He serves as our advocate in the heavenly realm. And this is why intercessory prayer is so important. When we pray, we are imitating Jesus. And our prayers become an extension of his work. Prayer unleashes a power that is greater than any humanly conceived power. It is the power that transforms hearts and minds. When we intercede, we bring the kingdom of God on the earth. The ascension empowers us in a second way. His ascension made possible the release of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the most renowned prophet was Elijah. And if you remember, God did extraordinary things through Elijah. So it didn't rain for 3 years, and he prayed, and then it rained. And he even raised a boy from death to life. Elijah never died. Instead, he was taken up to heaven by a chariot and horses of fire. And at the time of his ascension, his apprentice, Elisha, received a double portion of his spirit and assumed the mantle so that he could continue in the work of Elijah. Elisha would go on to do things that were as great as those of Elijah, if not greater than him. Why is this old story here, this Old Testament story here? Why is it important for us? Why do we care this length of time? Because this story is meant to be a prototype to the passing on of Jesus' power to his disciples after his ascension. Do you remember that prior to his death, Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father." He meant that seriously. We are to take on the mantle in the same way that Elisha took on the mantle of Elijah. We are to take on the mantle of Christ and carry out the ministry that the Lord has called us to do. With the human spirit, with the Holy Spirit, humanity joins with Christ in his mission to expand his rule on earth. We are united with God who dwells inside of us, strengthening us while subduing the enemy. It's the Holy Spirit that animates us with the power of God to know the truth and to bring the kingdom of God to the earth wherever we go. As a church, St. James, we exist to proclaim the reign of Christ wherever we go. So during our 83-year-old history, God has used this church in amazing and very memorable ways. You know, deep inside this church is a core belief that we can make it happen. And it means that we don't just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it, but we employ the gifts that God has given us for the edification of the church and the glory of God. We understand that God wants to use our lives and through them to bring the kingdom of God on earth. Just consider some of the momentous ways God has used this church for his glory. So in 1952, a nucleus of committed parents joined to establish a school providing independent education in the Christian tradition. It was called St. James Parish Day School. And it opened with 51 students and was headed by one of this church's priests. And it still exists today. And it's known as the Harbor Day School. Years later, one of your rectors, John Ashe, recognized that St. James required spiritual renewal. And he launched a program called Life in the Spirit that changed the trajectory of this church for decades. The Holy Spirit came in great power. When the Episcopal Church began to adopt revisionist theologies that denied the uniqueness of Christ, this church did not sit around. Another rector, David Anderson, founded the American Anglican Council to help churches find solutions. And a few years later, St. James voted to leave the Episcopal Church, help launch the Anglican Church of North America, and was instrumental in forming the Diocese of Western Anglicans. As the ACNA, the Anglican Church of America, was forming, another need became apparent, and that was for spiritual resources to disciple people within the church. And again, it was St. James that took the initiative and started Anglican House Publishers. St. James has a heritage of pioneering new things to expand the reign of Christ on the earth. We make things happen. This is the way that God has used this church in the past. And I believe that he will use it in the future. So as we prepare for a significant move to our new church home, it will be for one purpose: to expand the reign of Christ on the earth. Our mission field is likely to look very different from our Newport Beach beginnings, because Christ has called us to make disciples of all nations. Orange County is not the same as it was 83 years ago. But we continue to be a church where Christ, the King, is lifted up. And being true to our heritage, we are likely to be pioneers of something new that will serve as a resource to our diocese and our province. It may seem at first inconvenient to leave our building that we've grown to love, but no matter where we go to expand the kingdom of God. That's why we exist. So why have we Christians not grasped the glory that we've been given? Why do we still look to the world for how we're supposed to live? And most likely because we have a faulty understanding of the condition and location of our Lord Jesus Christ in the here and now. We should feel a tension between these two worlds. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. Sent to the world to love it as shepherds seeking wandering sheep, and yet not allowed to attach ourselves to it. God wants to use our lives fully. He has shared his glory with us. And now, as his priest, we share his glory with the world as we invite his kingdom into every circumstance we face in this world. May Christ the King be glorified through us and in this church. Amen.